last and far, the Prince of Peace. Only you can break this war that has increased. With this talent that you give me, touch my lips, I wanna be your mouthpiece. In these days it feels like midnight, 'cause the wicked hand's not caught. But this day I pray in our hearts love will reign again.
Start this one more time, and fingers crossed if I say hello. Chevelle, are you there?
I'm right here. How are you, sir?
I'm very well. I'm very, very well. You sound a little bit faint. I don't know if you can get a little closer to the microphone, but welcome to Reggae Space.
So that the people them can hear me.
Yes, that would be great if you can just...
Am I doing better now?
That's better, yes. If you can maintain that would be great.
We've tried much better.
Okay. I hope, you know, you're comfortable and the weather is treating you well. I got to welcome you to Reggae Space on behalf of everyone here listening. And we have listeners from all over the world, I might add. How are you?
I am indeed blessed. I don't have no complaints. I'm not sick. I'm not sick, I am well. So God is good and I'm grateful to be alive in the land of the living.
Yes, indeed. There are many things to be grateful for, and counting your blessings comes to mind.
Amen.
Okay.
I think I have a difficulty hearing you again. Could you talk some more? Let me hear you.
I was just playing a track from you on the Heavenly Rhythm named Peace. Did you hear me playing that?
Oh, yes, I got a little piece of it. Yeah, man.
Right.
I hope that song has been good to you.
Yes, indeed. It's a very popular one, and it stands out amongst those on the same rhythm because you have that kind of intro that is, you know, not a singing intro. It's a vocal.
It's a prayer. It's more like a prayer.
Yes. It's
like a speaking intro.
That's right, yes, and it sets it apart from the rest.
Oh, thank you. I haven't heard much of the other songs. I believe I'm the only gospel artist on that rhythm.
Right.
You know, so I haven't heard the others, but I'm sure that, well, I know the producer very well, and I know that he always operates with a spirit of excellence. So I know whatever else is on it is good stuff, but I haven't got the chance to hear the other artists on the rhythm.
Well, I will just touch it one more time, let the people them hear. It was mid-tune when I made the call. But I just wanted to welcome you and make sure everything is all right in the sound and everything seems to be.
I hear you loud and clear. I hope you can hear me loud and clear.
Yes, indeed. It's all good now. Just to let you know, I did play one or two tunes before in a kind of intro. Some going back to I don't know if it's really haunting you, but Dancehall Queen, I played that a little earlier.
Okay, no problem.
I guess it's part of it's part of the Chevelle Franklin that we see today, at least right. Part of the journey.
Yeah, part of the journey, so I'm not ashamed of what, you know. It's just part of the journey. It just comes along with the whole thing. So yeah. It is cool. It's cool. Not, I don't see a problem with that.
That's cool.
Because when people hear the testimony, I know that if God could save me from a situation, things that I used to do, it will encourage somebody else.
That's right. And you, those words seem to ring in my mind because I heard you revisit the melody.
That's right.
Okay.
To be honest with you, it was a song that people really loved, especially in Jamaica here.
Yes.
And it was only fitting for me. I was led basically to do a remake of it, gospel remake of it, and it was well received.
Yes, I'm sure it was. I will play that a little later on, but for now, just to give people a little more of a taste of what you're capable of in the modern day era, another touch of the Heavenly Rhythm with Chevelle Franklin singing Peace.
Lord, I thank you for today. Father, I pray that you will bless this microphone, bless every word that I'll speak to your people. It is not by might nor by power, but it's by your spirit. And Father, Prince of Peace, only you can break this war that has increased. With this talent that you give me, touch my lips, I wanna be your mouthpiece. In these days it feels like midnight, 'cause the wicked hand's not caught. But this day I pray in our hearts love will reign again.
Peace, let your peace flow.
To all those tuning in right now, big up all those in the shout box, Sonia 58, big up Dags, yes indeed, a powerful tune.
But God has forgiven.
Large up yourself, Naya Shane.
He will lead you.
Well, Shavren, I'd just like to go back a little while. You know, you talked about the journey, and it's always useful to start at the beginning. I know that you... you know, I've been in the industry for a little while now, and you know, it's almost like you've had two successful careers. So I'd just like to have a little bit of a review of your first career and how that really felt while you were in it.
Well, you know, my first career, I was very excited to be in the music business. There was a lot of great opportunities to meet a lot of great artists. Got the privilege of singing with people like Dennis Brown,
yes,
Jimmy Cliff, Sister Judy Mowat,
right,
Marcia Griffiths, all those icons in the business, getting the chance to meet them.
Yes.
People like Barris Hammond, and just growing up along those greats was really a great opportunity for me. And so it was more like I was the little baby girl.
And how old were you? How old were you then, time?
Go ahead.
How old were you at that time?
I was probably about 15, 16 years old.
Right,
and
right.
Then around that time, got the chance to work with also people like Shabba Ranks, doing a very popular song called Mr. Loverman.
Yes.
That was really a great hit. Worked with almost everybody in the business. Then end up getting to the Dancehall Queen with Beanie Man. That was the latter part of my secular career.
Yes, yes.
But before, I was, you know, as I said, just getting to work with all those artists was a great opportunity for me. Getting to link people like Mikey Bennett, who is one of Jamaica's most profound songwriters.
Yes.
You know, he has written most of those anthems coming back from the late 90s, really, you know?
Yes,
so
yes.
It was really a good opportunity to learn. And I learned very quickly, because as I said to you, getting the opportunity to be amongst some of Jamaica's greatest artists. So it was good for me. And also embarking on my own solo career eventually. I had my first household name with a song called Here I Am. That was one of the songs that really introduced me to the Jamaican people. It was more like a ballad, though. It wasn't dancehall.
Yes,
then
yes.
I got into it, a remake of Anita Baker's song, No One in the World, which is crazy because up to this date, they still play it like it came out yesterday.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, dub plates like crazy.
Is it?
People still wanting. Yeah, man, people still want dub plates from that song and stuff.
So you were kind. I'm interested to explore the actual entry into the business. Would you say you were driven into the music business? Did you have a desire to do that from early out?
You know, I always liked singing, but I really didn't love it. And if I was very honest with you, coming from a very poor background upbringing,
Yeah.
And not getting much, you know, school, not getting much education. Most children, especially here in Jamaica that I can speak of, you know, music is something that back in the day you didn't think that, you know, you didn't have to have a high school degree to pursue music or anything like
right,
that. So
right.
it was a door for me. But then now I look back on it, I realize that my steps were really indeed ordered by God. And this was what he wanted me to do. So I was drawn to music because I would not have, there was not a lot of pressure, you know. And the thing also is that when I would sing, I would feel like I belong.
Yeah.
Even though to me, I wasn't the greatest.
Okay.
But I felt a sense of belonging. I felt a sense of purpose. And it released a lot of stress from me when I would begin to sing.
Okay.
So that was what it did for me. But as I said, the beginning was very rough, going
yeah.
from studio to studio, hoping that one day somebody would record me and eventually, you know, meet up with the right set of people and doors start opening, you know, to open. And it's not just, let me make this very clear to many artists who are trying to come up in the business. One of the things that helped me was not because I was a great singer. It was because of my humility.
Okay.
You know, that was really drawing the right people to help me.
Okay.
It was me having a spirit that was willing to learn and not believing in the hype. Even when I was around the people that I could hype myself with.
Yes.
It wasn't about that for me. It was just remaining humble and also having a teachable spirit.
Yes,
and I
yes.
was one of those persons that you could teach. I didn't feel like I was right and I knew it all because I knew that, you know, every day we grow and we get better each day. So
yes,
it was
yes.
that place of humility that really helped me.
And that's quite a contrast to other artists. I can't really name any names, but you know, getting to the place
more,
where
I tell you, holy for them.
Yes,
just so, hype and the lack of humility.
Yes, and getting the hype was the aim. You know, that was the end. You know, the end and the be all of being in mm-hmm. the business, rather than it being a learning experience.
Yeah, the hype don't really work. You know, I mean, it worked to a certain degree where. A man just boosts your ego and make you feel like he's the best thing. But it really, at the end of the day, it really can be offensive and it really don't keep you. You know, it don't keep you where you need to be kept.
Yes, yes.
And that's one of the things about being the hype.
Yes.
If you feel the hype, you live a false life. You feel that you're further than where you are.
Right, right.
Because it's one of the things that hypeness do.
Yes, yes. And with your talent, you know, the wonderful voice and your humility and you know, the skill of delivering a song, I would guess, managed to get to the successful place you reach without any pressure to do anything untoward. Do I make myself clear? You know what I'm getting at?
No, go on again.
Well, I'm thinking that...
Before I open my mouth and answer something we never ask.
Well,
yeah.
Okay, that's cool. Well, I'm thinking that other artists might be pressured to do any favors for those who have the power to make them successful, you know? They might have to make do things that they wouldn't normally do, you know, bear some flesh and worse, you see?
Yeah. You know what it is? I mean, who you are will attract who you are in the sense because why I say it is because, to be honest with you, I was not under that level of pressure. I was not. And I believe also it was because of who I was. They didn't see me as a piece of meat.
Right.
They saw me as a nice girl, somebody who they respected, somebody they could honor. So they didn't really, maybe if I was carrying myself a certain way and have
right.
a certain kind of attitude and all of that, it would attract a different kind of people to me.
Right.
So I know that how you are as a person and how you carry yourself, just how you focus and just who you are can attract the right type of person.
Yes, yes. And obviously it was important, the people who actually took you under their wing, you know, the people who spotted your talent and wanted to nurture that talent.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And I'm not saying that everything was perfect. Yeah, you do meet people who trying it, but, you know, compared to others that you know, boy, oh my goodness, it's like,
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but I was blessed in that area that I was not exploited a lot.
Yes, that's the word I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a blessing in itself. But as you say, it's the kind of person, you know, people tend to attract the people that they deserve.
That's right. That's right. If you choose to be at a certain loud and brash and just very, you know, that's exactly what you're going to get. You're going to get the like-minded people attract like-minded people.
Yes.
Light-minded people attract light-minded people, and dark-minded people attract dark-minded people, if you know what I mean.
Yes. Okay. So that's a little bit about the entry. And obviously, within a certain amount of time, you started to enjoy quite a significant amount of success. Where did that carry you at that time?
Oh man, I was traveling all over the world. Went to Japan several times, toured the States, went to Canada, all the Caribbean islands, America. It was just all over. It was just crazy because to be a little girl coming out of that place, that poverty stricken place, and it was just a dream, and seeing certain realities coming to pass, it was just glorious. You just sit there and you just know that, you know, even though your talent helped, you know that, boy, it is really God's goodness
that is
preserving you while you get the chance to be dining in five-star restaurants and five-star hotels and that kind of a thing. So it's really, really, I was really taken aback, and I just had a grateful heart. I was so grateful to God just for the open door, the opportunity.
And it seems to me that you were might have been considered in a particular set, you know, the successful artists, the people in demand, a kind of a group. I'm wondering if there was any pressure or any expectation that you moved in a like way, you know, or whether you could be yourself and do as you wanted to do.
You know, there was a little bit of pressure when it started. When it started to get to that level, there's always pressure. And the pressure comes when the greater doors start open.
Right.
You know, here comes another level of pressure. You know, and another level of pressure is to try to push you into sing certain kind of lyrics that's not you, you know.
Right.
Here comes, you have this record deal and they're bringing these top writers and producers, and they're now saying, okay, well, just use this one word here, and then you this compromising thing just start come on you.
Yes.
You know, and you start to feel uncomfortable, you know, and my spirit was just not flowing with it. Trust me.
And it would take a strong person to resist the temptation and the encouragement and the expectation.
It is, because there's a hype now. There's a hype that's being built around you. You have a bag of people saying yes to you on the right, yes to you on the left, and if you're not careful, your foot come off of the ground.
Yes.
And the very thing that you hate, you become.
Yes.
The very thing that you say you will not become, you become it.
Yes,
because
indeed.
Of this kind of, you know, your season change.
Yes.
Season change now from hardly making it to make it.
Yes.
Here comes a different level of budget, a different level of people, a different level of liberty, and it changes you. And if you don't run, if your eyes is not wide open, it's almost like you sell your soul to the devil if you're not careful.
Well, see, I would imagine that it is doubly hard, especially when you come from such a rough or a poorer background. And once you taste, you know, a more comfortable lifestyle, you might be swept along with it. And you know,
many have been swept along, and many just decide, say, listen, I'm going to fight this.
Yeah.
Many have gone along with the flow, and many have said, you know what, that's not for me.
Right.
Many have said that's not for me, and then decide to run.
Okay.
But I tell you, out of one to five, is probably one that run.
Yes.
And the four just decide, say, yo, I've been waiting on this for too long to turn back. No.
That's it.
But
that's...
in the end, I'm telling you, in the end, it's bitter.
Right.
Because, I mean, I've known producers, even in Jamaica, I've known producers who, they didn't mind records certain very lewd and outrageous songs, and just at the time when they were doing that, they probably didn't have a youth. they didn't have a daughter or a son.
Right.
So the son grew up and, you know, they see that the very songs that they have produced, what it is doing to their children. And they can look back on me and say, boy, Chef, if I could see it, if I did see it, I wouldn't do it.
Right.
The consequences to the action is very grave. You know, some of them living in that place of sorrow and regret.
Yes, yes, yes.
And some of us can see it before it happened. And some of us see it before it happened and say, you know what, because I don't want that curse on me. Let me run, leave it.
That's
and
right.
Some of us refuse to see it, although we know it's there.
Yes.
And we're willing to take the chance because the love of the money overshadowed.
Yes. Well, I'm so glad that you took the longer view. Too many take the shorter view and immediate gratification and they regret it at a later date. Thank you for that short intro. That's a very interesting start to our conversation. I want to play a tune now. After all, we are a radio station and we deal with music. I'm looking at a track here that you did with Lady G.
Yes, I did that song. Oh, Lord. I did that song probably about 20 odd years ago.
Wow.
That song is so old. I did that song probably when I was young, very, 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 very young. The good thing is that people thought that I was a Christian when I did it, but I did it long time. As I say, even though I didn't come into Christ yet, I was always mindful that I needed to walk right.
That's
and
it.
I was always very much had a grateful spirit because I knew the level of poverty that I came from, and I knew it was not just my talent that brought me
right
through those times. It was just God's faithful hand, you know, and grace, His grace upon my life that gave me the opportunity to come out from amongst that hard place, and was able to now be a testament to go back and show those girls that, listen to me, if you fight, if you push and believe in yourself and believe that God truly loves you, He will make a way out and no way for you.
Indeed, indeed. And quite an appropriate tune because it's named Thank You.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh God, we give you all the glory.
Show us a blessing.
Hey,
hey, hey. All the praises we can.
Hey,
boy, I have to start it back. Big up yourself, Queen Easy. Boom, bang in the shout box. Large up yourself, Naya Shane. Big up Ochi Santos, Chevrolet Franklin, Lady G.
Oh God, we give you all the glory.
Show us a blessing.
Hey, hey, hey.
All the praises we can.
Times seems down and out.
night, I say thank you, thank you.
Well, Chevelle, you say at that time you hadn't become a Christian formally yet. This one marked 1996 or thereabouts, is that right?
Yeah. When I got saved was 1998.
Yes. So at this,
and I did this song when probably I was about 20.
Right. So
at Earth, this, way before that.
So at this time it wasn't you perhaps was being beckoned from time, but you little after this you started being aware of that. Would that be fair to say?
I think because, you know, most of the artists, them, to be honest with you, coming out of church, so we were always God conscious, you know.
Yes.
You're conscious of the fact that it's God that has given you this talent. It's God who wake you up this morning. Because we're not living in a country that we don't know about God.
Right.
We're living in a quote-unquote Christian country. So it was, you know, it was easy for us to come together and do a song just saying, God, we thank you. Especially Lady G and I, we've been through a lot. You know, as I said, most artists coming from that place where that city that looked like nothing good could come out of it.
Yes.
But still, because we persevere and God created a way for us.
It's true.
You know,
it's true. I understand that Jamaica has more churches per square mile than anywhere else on the planet.
Yeah, tell you.
How it wasn't very long after this when it started to become a little difficult for you to maintain that lifestyle in the business?
Yeah, it was, you know what, when I started doing secular music, my innocence flew each time. I mean, you would compromise here and then you would take it as maybe style, maybe seasons change. And,
yeah.
You know, as you get older and get closer to the hit factory, you realize that, oh my God, if you don't careful. So everything was becoming so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, you used to wear a little Vaseline on your lip and you were fine with it until now. Wear pink lipstick. Now then wear red. And then you gradually lose who you are.
Yes.
You know? And nothing not wrong with wearing pink lips, because I do wear pink lips. I'm just using it as a reference point.
Yes,
to say.
Yes.
You lose any little good substance in you, because it's all about what the record deal is about. Is they are about marketing you as a sex symbol for you to create that buzz for them to make money, and you lose. You see it happen to all those girls. You see it happen to Rihanna. You see it happen to Nicki Minaj. You know, when they just start out, and then this innocence just.
Yes.
This innocence just disappear. I mean, I feel it for most of them, because I am praying for the Rihannas. I'm praying for the Nicki Minaj, because that could have been me.
Right.
Until it get to a stage where you really lose yourself.
Yes.
Because you understand what I'm saying?
Yes. And it would seem to me that...
Cracking up a bit, but may I hear you?
Okay. Well, it would seem to me that it's difficult to maintain that kind of lifestyle and maintain your true self, you know, going home.
You can't maintain a true self. It's either it. After when it comes to a point where you don't have any choice but to cross over,
right,
or cut it off, period. It's either you serve, because you know the Bible says you can't serve two masters at the same time.
Right.
It's either you're the one or the other, because if you're trying to play both upon two sides, you're basically going to commit suicide. It don't work.
Yes.
It don't work. It never worked. You understand me? It wasn't working for me. I was uncomfortable. I was going through all those. You know, I was losing the person that I loved.
Yes.
You know, the person who God wanted me to be. I was losing, all because I needed to fill stadium. All because I needed to make more money. You slowly lose it, and they know exactly what to do to you.
Yes, I'm sure they do.
They know exactly what to do. Your whole appearance change. Your speech pattern change. Your attitude change. You become this other person who you don't know.
Yes. And you could maintain it for a time, but in the end, it just became too much.
It became too much, and I was like, boy, I needed to run for my life.
Right.
And, you know, 1998 was the. I want to tell you, say, I would never hear no pastor, no nothing. It was a show that I had in Jamaica, the Ronnie Williams Entertainment Center. That year, 1997, Dancehall Queen came out and just bust up the place. I mean, everything was just going like crazy.
Yes.
In 1998, Song of the Year, Video of the Year, all the all the awards I was scraping up that time.
Yes.
But as I said, there was just this void in my heart, and I knew that the money couldn't fill that void. I knew that the exposure I'm meeting all these artists just wasn't enough.
Yes.
But I knew that it was in Christ for me. I knew that he was the only one that could help me. And I mean, that night I still went to the show. I wasn't saved yet. I went to the show, and it was me, Beanie Man, Bounty Killer. Everybody was on the show, and I was supposed to come on and sing Dancehall Queen. And I tell you, that was the night that I didn't plan it. You know, the Lord just invaded my space, and I just went on stage that night, and I said, yo, you up now? We can't sing this song no more, but I know a song that I want to sing tonight, and I mean it with all my heart. Remember, no church people, no dead and no nothing.
Right.
And I started singing this song by Kirk Franklin, Silver and Gold. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I needed to save me. Yes. There are people listening to your program right now that need to save themselves from some things that they've been wrapping themselves up into, thinking that, boy, you know, if you're going to stay with this man not good for you, but you're still dead with him. This woman not good for you.
Yes.
Or this job, this thing. And I just had to love me for once. And I knew that the only way out was Christ Jesus. And on that stage, I started to sing that song. I mean, I tell you, I lost myself and I sang, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. And there was a hush in the place. There were some people that were making up them face, them, they'd vex them. I said, yo, artist, oh, if you do that, you
why?
Know? And there were some people that was crying because what I did, they wanted to do also, but just did not know how to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
and
yes.
I just was like, listen to me, I'm leaving this man because this is taking me to a place where it wasn't meant for me to be there.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
So that it happened 19, the 4th of August, I think, 1998. And from then, that was it. And I want to tell you, so the warfare started when we go in church, because when I started in the church, there were people saying, no, Sasha soon leave. Ooh, I give her 3 weeks, I give her. But they didn't understand that the joy that I had in me, there was no way I was going back.
Right.
I wasn't going back to my vomit.
Right, right, right.
Well, and I made up my mind from that day. And I'm, oh man, it's 15 years now.
Right, right. But you know, that strikes me so hard, you know, to be part of the industry in the role that you had, and at that key point, you know, a crucial time when you're on the stage and everybody pay their money and expecting a certain thing, and mm-hmm. you know, have the strength to say no, you know, this is not me anymore.
It was the strength of God, you know, because he saw that I was willing. But here's the thing though, you see, when you're coming from poverty, when you're in poverty, you know, you think that what is going to give you that peace is money.
Yes.
And being up there with the rich boys and being up there with the celebrities. But then when you get a glimpse of the celebrity and the wealth, and you see the lifestyle behind the curtains, you realize that what you thought it was, oh my God, it was hell itself.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because I would go to parties, after parties, because they would, you know, as a young artist, they would put you to go and mingle with the stars, them like the, whether the Janet Jacksons or the Mariah Careys and the Boyz II Men. And you would go to all these quote unquote celebrity, you know, backstage event where all the artists, and some of what you will see, oh my God.
I'm sure.
You realize then, if this was what I was after, you know what I'm saying? Look, yeah. When you look on one of the greatest singers in the world, Whitney Houston, God yes. rest her soul.
Yes.
I love Whitney. Whitney meant so much to me. And when you look on what came up after,
yeah.
what was happening in our life, you didn't see it. You yes. didn't see it because there was a fake light that was shining on it, make it look like everything was good.
Yes,
you
yes.
would hear one or two things, but look what happened.
Yeah.
Look at the end result.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, with all these things. So when you get to the opportunity to go and to see certain and get exposed to certain level of liberty and some things you have to do to get fame, sell your soul, I mean, give up your whole. I mean, you know, understand the amount of things that you have to do.
Yeah.
You realize You're left with this space. Is it worth it? Is it not?
It looks like it sounds like you walk up to the precipice, you look in, and
yes,
then you,
man, and you run.
That's right.
After that, that's right. You realize that no money in the world would be big enough for you to stay where you are.
Right.
Because if you go there, you're going down. You know what I'm saying? If you go there, you're going down.
And when you took the turn in a dramatic way, make everybody see and made it even more difficult for you to turn back, not that you wish to. When you did make the turn, there was criticism because you come from a certain lifestyle and people fear so you're going to bring it with them and with you and it was hard for people to accept.
You know, I think the problem with many people, sometimes somebody criticizes something, but they don't realize the reason why they would criticize it to that degree is because they know if they were in my shoe, they would have done something different.
Right.
So when you come, they'll say, no, sir, that can't real. But if they were in that position where they were exposed to what you see and the life that you were living,
yes,
they know that there's no way that they would have probably walked away from it.
Right.
So that's the reason why they come down so hard on you to say, no, sir, I've given her 2 weeks, I've given her 3 weeks. Oh, she's so and so and so. Yeah. But there were folks who knew Chevelle Franklin. And I remember when Shabba Ranks heard, the first thing he said was, we could have seen Pana a long time, so she never make for this.
Really?
Yeah, because there was just a certain way I was. You know, so it didn't surprise him when he heard that I got saved because, you know, there was a certain way that I was walking. I had certain principles and I wasn't perfect. Oh, God, I was not.
Okay.
You know, I wasn't the most innocent person in the world. But compared to many others, there was just something that was set apart about me that did not surprise a lot of people.
Okay.
And I thank God for that.
Okay. That's all sounding very, very good. I got one tune I want to play before I deal with what is more the contemporary Chevelle Franklin. I want to play a tune named What Number One.
Yeah, man.
Run. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Oh, and all these things will be...
Rajab Naya Shane.
Understand me?
We got promotants.
Jump up, and I'll let you know that Jesus
Okay, Chevelle, I'm wondering now that you come to the part where you make the turn and you it's like you give up on a certain lifestyle. I'm wondering how many people you've had to leave and move on, and people who you couldn't carry with you into the new life.
You know what? There were so many people I did not know that really that was out there who liked me so much, where when I got saved, the testimonies that they had walked away also just because I had made that turn, you know, right, change of heart. And it was really a blessing. There were some, and I want to tell you that some of the artists, them, some didn't speak to me for a while, but it was okay.
Yeah.
some didn't speak to me for a while, and some, you know, some was very, very much happy for, you know, me, the lifestyle change.
Right.
And, you know, it was a situation that, you know, they would call me and they'd say, "Boy, Chevelle, just pray for me, just remember me," you know. And I love all of my friends, them, and I still pray for them, from Elephant Man to Bounty Killer to Beanie Man. All of them, where them are friends, see, and we see them, heal them up, you know, still.
Because I would guess there's some of them that would take it kind of personal, you know.
Some take it personal because them vex, say, "Oh, you feel do that."
Yeah.
You know, "Oh, you feel get saved. Oh, you do that. Why?"
Because it's like they follow
this time. But, you know, me have to run. It's about the war. It's about my soul.
Yes.
And my soul more important than me staying because somebody like my voice.
Yes. It's like, well, you know, me and you, they're saying, we were in a certain lifestyle, and you know, I own this lifestyle, and you now turn your back on it. It's like you're turning your back on me, and me personally, you don't like me, and you don't like my lifestyle, you know, and I guess there's some people that will take it that way, but as you say, you know, there's a section that do that, and another section that's happy for you, you know.
That's right. Another section was just happy to say, "Boy, a long time you want to do that to the Chevelle, I'm going to do it." And there was another section that said, "Boy, I come try what you try now."
Right.
And the thing is, I can go to a dancehall show same way and share. And you understand me? Because some of the concerts that I do is dancehall, in terms of, you know, especially when I just got saved, I would get invited to do and share my new songs. And it would go down very well because there were people, that was where I needed to be, not in church.
Yes.
I needed to take the church into the dance hall. So that's exactly what I did, because I remember going to Europe and going to some club, and it was, you know, the kind of club where you're going them and I smoke them thing and ray. But I didn't make it bother me because I know that kind of liberty. Me just going and just share with them what God do for me. Yes. And you'll be surprised, that club turned into an altar.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm not ashamed. I love my people, them.
That's right. I was.
And on me alone, Christ did die for you and die for all of us. So it's not me not there to judge them or look down on them or stuff. Because I was a wretch, just, you understand me?
Yeah.
I was a wretch too. So it was just God's grace and mercy. And his voice beckoned to me. I reached out to him and said, "Boy, God, I'm going to hold on for you. I'm going to let you go."
And you say,
I'm not saying, I can tell you that Christianity is not an easy lifestyle. It's not easy. But with the grace of God upon my life, he has made it easy. You know what I'm saying? You still go through certain persecution. And I mean, believe it or not, there will still be people saying, "She soon turn back same way." You know, them people are living at them yesterday.
Yes.
Still living at my yesterday when me then am I today.
Yes. And I guess there was a certain amount of people that had certain investment in you, you know, their wealth depended on you maintaining what you was doing.
Yeah, there was certain, because you would have your own band and them, you know, used to, you sing certain songs, and now you're not singing the same songs you used to sing, and them now go up the road. Them want to, but somehow them don't make up their mind. But that's life, you know.
Yes.
Life is either you go right, you go left. It's either light or darkness. And I made my choice to go into the light. And, you know, if I would love for them to come, but I can't force nobody to do what them don't want to do.
Right.
You know, love on them same way and all of that.
And people use the phrase, oh, that was a long time ago in a different life, you know. Would you say you got a new life? Would you put it that way?
Oh, fabulous. Oh, yes. Let me tell you something. When I got saved, you know, the first time, you know, the first night, I remember saying, God, what did I do? You know?
Yeah.
You know, I was wondering if it was my emotions just got the best over me. And I was just so kind of worried. Like,
right.
Then I remember just praying and saying, God, hear what? Please. I don't want to bring embarrassment to your name. Just keep me. Keep me where I ought to be. Keep me safe in you. You know, and yes. I tell you, God kept me because I had a willing heart to follow, to do what he wants me to do. Yes. I had a willing heart to hold fast to him and to, you know, to not follow my ways anymore, but really be steadfast and you know, just let myself go in him.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know what I'm saying? So because of the willingness of my heart, it was easy for his grace to carry me. And so here I am 15 years later.
Wow.
Thank God that, you know, and I've made it by grace because I tell you, I messed up so many times. But that's the good thing about God. It doesn't matter how many times you're falling, as long as you're willing to say, Father, forgive me and get right back up. He's right there with you.
Yes, yes.
And he made promises that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So it was easy to go. I mean, if I was listening to some Christians, that bring down judgment fire upon me. Would have probably run gone a long time, but yeah. I had a personal relationship with Christ. And because of that personal relationship with Christ, I was kept even through the storms. I was saying, Lord, would I ever, you know, get the chance to travel again? I tell you something, I have gone to more places being a Christian than when I was not saved.
Well, that's what I was thinking, you see. In this,
I've always wanted to go to Africa. I mean, I would sing with Garnet Silk, but Mama Africa would sing all of them song there.
Yeah,
I've never been to Africa. And when I got saved, probably about 10 years later or so, you know, I was in the first place I went to in Africa was Kenya.
Wow.
And then God opened a door into Namibia. Then from Namibia, I went to South Africa. From South Africa, I went to Nigeria. Nigeria, I went to Ghana. I mean, the list kept going. And then I went to Zimbabwe. And it's so, and I think one of the most special, one of the most special time for me in Africa was when I landed in South Africa. Oh my God. I had an experience that it was just so beyond me. My body, there was such fire. I was just connecting back to the motherland.
Right.
When I went to this church service here in the South Africa national anthem, oh my goodness, it was almost like the power of God just touched me. I was so blessed just to be in that place. And then they had introduced, the introduction that the gentleman gave me was just so profound. He said, I remember him saying, you know, we're so glad to have our sister today. And he was talking to the people, just reminding them that Jamaica was a very integral part of South Africa being freed.
Right.
You know? And how God has sent the sister from that side of the world to just come and bless us. You know, and it was just so, when I went back to Jamaica, I was just telling them how South Africa appreciated us for helping through while they were going through the apartheid.
Right.
To be able to say this is a milestone. I mean, this is a little girl from Spanish Town who never have nothing.
Yeah.
And God platformed me that way. It was just amazing.
Okay.
And every time I go back to South Africa, I got the chance to go all over to Cape Town. I went to where Mandela lived, Winnie lived,
yes.
Bishop Desmond Tutu. Life is good. God is good. And I know that is because I choose to follow him, why he did such a special thing for me.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
Went and I just didn't look back.
So now that you're in your new life, your second life, and it seems that you're doing just if not more successful than you were in your first music and industry life, and it's taken you all over the world, and you can make comparisons, I guess, between the different places, your homeland, and the way the worshiping is carried out, and the faith, and the depth of faith in Jamaica, and you can compare that with Africa and elsewhere.
Oh my God, it's different. The people in Africa are different than every other place in the world.
Okay.
There is such, I mean, when you're talking about comparison in terms of the worship and the intensity and that place of in spirit and in truth, those African people, I mean, it's just amazing for them to go through. So I'm talking about the African black people.
Yes.
I don't know about the white people then. Maybe the whites have been through stuff, but I'm saying the black people that I've met who have been through, their parents, our foreparents have been through so much. And the fact that they can honor God. I mean, when you talk about grateful, I mean, we will have a house, right? And our house don't have any food in there. And we will complain and I say, boy, we don't have no money, we don't have no food.
Yeah.
And these people will don't have a house and the heart of gratefulness. The heart that kind of the place that them praise God from is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable when it comes to, you know, just telling them, say, listen me, let's just give God praise. And they give God praise as if they have everything. When you come back to the islands and to the west,
yeah,
not just the island, but to the west, it's like, we have so much,
yes,
but yet still we can't see what we have. We see what more we need.
Yes,
and
yes.
So it's a total different place. It's a total different place of gratitude. It's a trust me. I mean, if I could live anywhere in this world, I tell you, I would live in Africa.
Wow.
Oh my goodness!
Wow.
I love South Africa. I love Jamaica because this is where I'm born and grow.
Yes,
love it. But if I would choose any place to live, I would definitely live in South Africa and in Jamaica.
Right, right, right. Well, that's quite a statement, you know. Any particular, you say in South Africa, of all Africa, is South Africa your preference?
I love South Africa. I love places in Ghana. Certain parts of Ghana I love, but man, South Africa. And I love Nigeria also. I think what I love is the Nigerian people also.
Okay.
I love their passion. They're very passionate about,
yes,
anything, whether, yes, it's good or bad, then passionate about
it. True, yes, okay.
You know what I'm saying? I love that about the Nigerian people. On my album that I'm working on actually right now, I've done some Nigerian songs and I've had people join me, like, I don't know if you know people like Donnie McClurkin, and I have people like Israel Horton on it with me, and I'm excited about this new project that I'm working on. And so I've fused Caribbean with Africa, and so,
wow,
it's going to be good. I'm excited.
That's cool, that's cool. Well, I want to play some music now, and this one, yeah, to me kind of describes the tipping point, the turn. You know, this track is entitled Kill My Flesh.
Oh, yes, sir.
Going through some changes, staying away from
What a great tune, what a great powerful song. And you know, I'm thinking one of the purposes that you might have, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, is to I'm thinking that you want to bring people with you, and I'm thinking this song, you know, and the way it describes the turn, as we describe it, you know, a lot of people will identify with and might make the turn as well.
I want to tell you, say no, it's going to surprise you. You see this song? I was saved when I wrote this song.
Wow.
I was saved when I wrote this song. I was probably about... I was in the faith. And let me tell you something. As I said to you, the walk has not been perfect. I have fallen along the way and just made some bloopers, step a bit outside, and God's love bring me back in.
Yes.
I wasn't backsliding, but I was in a particular situation where I knew it was not God's will for my life to be in it.
Yes.
Right? And I had a heart that I wanted to do what's right before God. And it was important that I obeyed God more than stay in that relationship that I was in.
Okay.
And I said, God, do please. This was my cry to God, saying that, look, Lord, kill my flesh. Kill it from wanting to follow my desire, my own heart, my own desire to go that way. God, me know, so right now, at this point where I am, left is not the right way. And you are say right, me. Here you are say right. But
yeah,
my feelings, my emotions are say left. So God, do kill my flesh, break my desire. Lord, let me thirst after your righteousness. Bring me back to that place when I first receive you, that place where I first believe you, that place where I was set on fire for you, and there was nothing that could come to try to deter me from you. God, this thing, this thorn in my flesh has come upon me to get me away from you. So God, may I beg you, do. You say, if you call upon me, you will answer me. So Father, answer me. Do kill my flesh. I don't want to go that way. I don't want to go back to the girl that I used to be.
Right.
And that was the cry. That's how the song was birthed.
I see. That makes it all the more powerful, you know.
Oh my God. You have to be honest with the thing, you know.
Yep. So
that was, go ahead.
So now that you're fully immersed in Christianity, you've been recognized and awarded in a similar way in your previous career, but perhaps even more so now. Would you say?
I would think so. Yes, I would think so, because at the time when I just got saved, basically I was about to climb.
Yes.
I was about to climb to the next level. I was getting a lot of awards, but I didn't stay long enough to get the full 100 then, so
yes,
to speak.
Yes, yes.
You know, so when I got saved, I remember about 3 years later, I did a gospel album, and the album just run off. I mean, I was nominated in one thing for like 12 different things, and I got 9 of them. And
wow.
it was just crazy, you know.
So nowadays you're in demand for a different reason. You're a minister now, yes?
Yeah, I'm a minister of the gospel. I mean, you can call me Chevelle same way.
Okay.
I'm
yeah.
a minister of the gospel, yeah.
But just for those who don't know, what it is to be a minister?
Basically, it's like, you know, you could be a minister for being a janitor. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
This is whatever you're called to do, that's, you have a ministry in that area.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's official by some official things, like, you know, the pastor anoint you to be, you know, an evangelist or stuff like that.
Yes.
So that's basically what it is. So whether some people want to be told Minister Chevelle Franklin or just Chevelle Franklin or Sister Chevelle or just Chevelle, I'm just fine with it. I'm
yes.
just fine with what you know, calling me Chevelle or whatever, but it's good.
Okay. So you find yourself in front of a whole body of people, and you have the mic in your hand, and you're leading them in their
in worship, yeah. Yeah, you're leading them in worship.
Okay. And you're called to do that because you're so good, and perhaps because your name is Chevelle Franklin, all over the world, I guess.
Well, there's some parts of the world I'm still believing God to open doors in Australia and in certain parts of the world, well, especially in Australia, and slowly going into Africa and Europe and stuff. Europe, there's a lot of stuff going on in Europe right now, and, you know, I've done a lot of groundwork, so right now that this new album that I'm working on, that hopefully it's coming out this year.
Yes.
Well, it will be coming out this year, will make the impact that it's, you know, because I have 2 Grammy Award winning artists on it that will really help to, you know,
draw attention,
take it off the ground, draw attention to it. So, you know, day by day, I'm doing what I need to do. And by God's grace, I'm, you know, just fighting to do it the best.
Yes.
Do it to the best of my ability.
Well, you as having an initial career in the reggae music fraternity, you will be you would recognize that within the Rastafarian faith there is a certain echo with the Christian faith. You know, the lot of the music that comes from Rasta uses a lot of the same language that you might find in gospel tunes. You recognize that?
Yeah, I mean, it's especially in the Psalms. I think they only read the Psalms still, but me read the whole Bible. I know Rastas, all I've always heard about is just the Psalms. Okay. And for me, and they've taken out what they want to take and, you know, do what them, basically them receive certain part and don't receive certain part. But they echo some of the same sentiments, right, like the Psalms of David, some of the things that David quoted, like in the Psalms. So they said the sum of the same thing,
right,
but don't
right.
believe everything that David believed.
So in your case, was there any chance that you would have followed the Rastafarian faith instead of Christianity?
Oh, never. There was no chance. I mean, I knew a lot of Rastas, but there was never any chance because for me, it was a bag of lip service. For those that I've seen, many of those that I knew, it was just a bag of lip service. It was always quoting this, quoting that. But that set apart lifestyle, it was no different than the man them. Where the only thing that I would see they maintain is really eating right. But when it come on to womanizing, lying, all of the other stuff, them they were very heavy into it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that Christians aren't, but I could see a difference in the Christian lifestyle than the Rastafarian lifestyle.
Okay. And nowadays, part of your life.
Remember the Bible saying, it's by their fruit you will know them.
Right.
So no matter how me talk, me can talk from now till a morning, until next year. If not, the fruit that I have don't produce any good thing, it means God is not in me.
Right.
So it's by the fruit, let your light so shine. So what kind of light? So you are the lifestyle that you live is what preached to me. It's not me quoting scriptures. Because I may not can quote scriptures like many people. But at the end of the day, it's the lifestyle that you live really making a difference. That is the gospel.
Yes.
You know, that is the gospel, the life that you live.
Right, so there's more weight and more to be acknowledged in your actions and your lifestyle and the way you carry yourself.
That's the fruit.
More than what you say and what you quote.
That's right, the fruit. Some man tell me about, well, you know, righteousness, and him have 90 different baby mother. You know, him a beat one, him a this with one, this. It's just, So that's, I know Rasta couldn't help me. That religion was not my forte. It was not something that I was attracted to.
Well, you know, you touch on something.
I'm not saying all of them is like that. But unfortunately, there was not enough in their actions to draw me. Although, you know, the Christians were guilty also. But, you know, I got into a personal relationship with Christ Jesus. And plus, they were, you know, trust me, it's a long thing. So,
yeah, I know. I know I don't really want to cause any controversy, but, you know, the listeners, certainly one of the listeners over in the States right now is posing in the shout box there. How comes Christians always fighting reggae music and Rasta?
Christians don't fight reggae music. People fight stuff. A lot of times when people, to be honest with you, a lot of times when people fight things, it's because they don't really understand it.
Yeah.
Because this is the sound that God, this is the rhythm that God gave us in this land. This is what this nation birthed.
Yes.
So when I go to receive R&B, I know there's some me birth out of. No. Nothing wrong with me singing. Nothing wrong with me singing on the rhythm and understanding that's what came out of there. But I identify the sounds, what came out of Africa is the same sound that came. You understand me?
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, I understand because, you know, a lot of Christians I've met who was against Christian reggae. But at the end of the day, everybody a follow.
Yes, and you...
Once you're convicted in your spirit that this is what God wants you to do, you're forward.
Yes. And not everybody responds to the man standing up the front and talking. You know, some people you can only reach through music.
That's right. Because I tell you, that's exactly it. Because you want to tell you something? If you sing your 2x table to your daughter, she will learn it quicker than you saying, love, learn this. Two wants two. You just give it to her in a rhythm.
Yes.
And before the day finish, she learned up to our 12x table.
Yes.
That's the power of music.
That's right.
Nobody can deny the power of music.
And would you say that you're using that as an instrument, although I would describe yourself as an instrument, but you're using an instrument to try and...
That's a tool. That's right. That's the tool I use to minister to people. I'm a very versatile vocalist, so I'm not really into saying, oh, well, you know, I'm a reggae artist or I'm a dancehall artist. I'm a musician. I'm a singer. I'm a psalmist. I sing. Whether you throw me upon the one drop beat, my ready feet. You throw me upon the dancehall, my ready feet. You throw me upon the hip hop, my ready feet. I don't come against nothing to say why. I don't come against music to say why. No, that is not up and that is not up and that is not up.
Yeah.
So for me, that's, you know, and I pray, I genuinely pray about, you know, about stuff like that before I do it. So that place of saying reggae music is not of God, at all times something that people never bother talk them things there anymore.
Right. Now, so would you say the part of your purpose in life now is to increase the people that are part of the body of Christianity?
Purpose in life is to introduce them to Christ Jesus, and is not to force anything to anyone. It's for whosoever, the Bible says, whosoever will, you know. So it's not whosoever you try to persuade or force. No, it's not about force. I mean, a Rasta man can come sit down, or whoever it is, a atheist can sit down and he can reason with me and he can talk to me. But at the end of the day, it's me to make the decision.
Yes.
So it's still about love. I think it's about understanding what love is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So this whole heap of war and this fight, and you are fighting me. Me not fight Rasta. And I hope Rasta don't fight me.
Right.
Me not fight Rasta, you know. A man choose who he want to serve. Bless him.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Bless him. Me not gonna love him no less. I'm not gonna love him any less because he's not saying Christ. Me know that Christ is the only way. To him, that is a lie. But if that's what he feels, God bless him same way.
Yes. And
it's that place and that space of love. That's what love does, you know. I'm not going to bring down brimstone and fire upon you.
Right.
I'm not going to bring down brimstone and fire on you because you don't believe what I believe.
That's right. It's like you're showing a way and people can accept that way and join you or not.
Put chicken before you, put pork. You choose.
That's right.
Or none at all.
Yes. All right. Let's play the next tune. The next tune, and it's the revisited Dancehall Queen.
Yes, I.
King Jesus.
Watch out. Christ, and my soul come to Christ the way. Truth, it will resurrect. My name in the book of Tommy can't get rid of it. Jesus is the only key to life. Open up your heart and realize you'll receive eternal life. Then you will march up the place like dynamite. Jesus is the only key to life. Open up your heart and realize you'll receive eternal life. Then you will march up the place like dynamite.
Hey, 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 oh, hey, that's right. Hey, 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 oh, that's right. Hey, 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 oh, hey, that's right. Hey, 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 oh, every day with Jesus, sweeter than before.
Well, Chevrelle, this track, I'm wondering to myself now how important it was for you to actually revisit it and turn the lyrics into a praise of God.
You know, it was something where I saw that it was easy for people to remember, you know, the song and to type with, this is the same person, oh wow.
Yes.
You know? Because the melody was familiar to them.
Yes, yes.
But they would say, boy, if God can change her based upon the life, the previous lifestyle that I was living, that means God can do it for me too. So that's basically how I end up, you know, and it was really, it came across very well, and it did what I really wanted it to do. Because of this song, a lot of people took notice and they were like, boy, you know, let me try this Jesus.
Right.
And it worked.
Yes, yes, yes. So I was thinking about this earlier. You know, a lot of artists, secular artists, as you describe them, measure their success in the number of units that they sell and so forth. And I'm thinking that maybe you measure success in a different way. Would you say?
Yeah, man, it's measured in a different way. For me, it's measured in a different way. We're living life on purpose. You know, because it can be for you, the money, and you're miserable for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, living life on purpose is doing what I'm called to do and being the best person that I ought to be. You know, it's to be mindful of those around me. It's to be my brother's keeper, not to be selfish. Just, you understand me? That place.
Yeah. And
that place of operating in love.
Yes.
You know, where me and you can have differences, but at the end of the day, we'll still be friends.
Yes.
But now, cause you to, you know, believe the same thing that I believe. But now, war and argue with you and I try sabotage you because, you know, and some people think that, you know, the spotlight and the money and that is it for them. But there's more to it than just being that way.
By your lifestyle, and people see how you live and see how you prosper, you know, within the church, and
that's prosperity. Prosperity is peace.
Yes.
Prosperity. Ultimate. I mean, it's like a cake, and it has different slices. There's a financial aspect of it. There's peace. There's just love, long suffering, all those fruit of the spirit that one has, and certain areas that you conquer. You know, as I was saying, many people know. I mean, when you go to certain countries and you see, oh, people are so much about their own business. If somebody fall, they don't even know. If the neighbor's sick, they don't even know. I mean, they're so detached from everything else around them. Life, they're so driven by me, myself, and I.
Yes, yes.
I don't live a life on purpose.
So another,
I remember a neighbor of mine, she had a, you know, she, I don't know, but she had an attitude, and I said to her one day, you know that I would reach you quicker than the ambulance. I said it to her that, you know, I would reach you quicker than the doctor because I'm your neighbor.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And it shifted her mindset.
Okay.
You know, and it made her stop being that kind of a selfish, self-centered person.
Right,
and
right.
The funny thing, she had a broken leg about 2 months later. And I am the one who had to keep helping her. Every time she would go up the step or, you know, if she had grocery, I'd look out for her and I would make sure, pick up a bag, hold up. People not doing that anymore. And we have to get back to that place where we become so conscious that we have a responsibility. We are responsible to be our brother's keepers. We ought to be our brother's keepers to fulfill greater. It's not about those you know and love. It is also about those you don't love.
Right.
And it's also about those you don't know. You go in the supermarket, aren't you looking to see if somebody else is just looking because they can't afford nothing? Them just a look. And I pray that somebody would see that they're in need of a pound of rice something. And you just, when you go to the cash registry, you look around and you realize that you have enough money to pay for what you have. And you just pay for their thing too. Isn't life, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Living life on purpose. So, you're going to a restaurant, you look, maybe just surprise and pay for somebody's food.
Right.
Just little things. That's what I call living life on purpose.
I see.
Driving in your car, you see somebody, everybody's so, you just look, you're just so mindful of your surroundings.
Yeah.
Driving in your car, you see somebody look stressed, you just roll down your window and you say, cheer up. Things going to get better.
Yes.
Just one word. People that's in need don't necessarily need money to make them better. It's just a word from your mouth, a word of encouragement.
Yes. So,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. A word of encouragement to say, you know, things going to get better. And say something like, you know, I see you looking better in your future. Just that sense of purpose.
Yes.
Sensitivity.
Yeah, and another measure of that would be, I guess, you know, the amount of people that after hearing your music and seeing the way you live, might consider opening their heart to receive.
That's right. I mean, it comes in so many different ways. I mean, the other day I was doing an audition to get some background singers, and one of the girls that came, her attitude was just so wrong, but she was so brilliantly gifted, you know?
Yeah.
She could sing very well. And I was saying to her that, you know, if I tell you that the timing is right for you to sing, I would be an evil person. I was just sharing with her that her attitude of this proudness will cause her to have a greater fall. You know,
yeah.
And she was just, I mean, at the end of it, she was just weeping because she said she has sang with so many people and nobody has ever said anything to her.
Right.
They only applauded her because she was a good singer.
Yes.
But her attitude was just so stink. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It was just so wrong. And I was able to just say to her, you know, if I tell you that singing now, for you to go and sing now, it's good for you, I'd be lying to you. I'm setting you up for a great fall. And I was just saying to her a certain attitude that she needed to correct, that it takes more than just being a good singer, but it takes character. It takes all those things that we ignore to make you go through successfully. And I said to her, all I could be to you right now, all that I need to be to you right now is a sister.
Yes.
And the sister in me says, sit for a while. Don't pursue music right at this moment because you're not in the shape for it. Because
right.
She walk into the wrong person, you know.
Yeah.
All them going to do is turn her into a prostitute, you know.
Yes.
Her life would have, her career would have just popped down.
Yes.
Because she would be so giddy and believe every lie that they said to her. And I tell you, that girl, I became a mother. Not just only a sister, but mother that girl. And the next time I said to her, I said, listen to me, every week I need to see you. And I've been seeing her for probably about 6-7 months. And now the girl has become such a warm, lovely person.
Right.
Carrying a different aura. I tell her that she's an atmosphere changer.
Right.
Because she goes into a room and it just light up. And, you know, she released such good positiveness, positive energy, all because of where she started, where she coming from, being abused by her parents and all that. Now, I said to her, Mommy, you're ready. you're ready. And that's what life is about, living life on purpose. Honesty, sincerity, and love. The yes. love of God through how we deal with things. Not just telling somebody what they want to hear.
Right,
not just pushing them into things because you like how them sound, so it's no. Go on. If somebody was there, and that is the thing, you know, there was a lot of selfishness also in the music fraternity, especially with many females where they did not see the younger ones and choose to mother them.
Okay.
Or help them. They would just see them rebelling and say, I just saw them one day going on. Them so meet what them I look for. And that's not what they should have been. Shouldn't just say that. They should have said, you know, I see Chevelle moving away now. Let me go and talk to her.
Right.
You know, and just that kind of talk, whether I'm going to rebel or not.
Being the friend, the sister, and the mother.
And you'd be surprised how it changed that they just needed somebody to guide them.
Yes.
You know? You know that there's a new liquor disc jockey. Yeah, you meet him and him hype. Not just write him off and just make him and just say, oh, the boy, they're a fool, man. What am I gonna turn out? No. You saw it because you were an answer to the problem.
I see.
It because you can help to solve the problem.
Right.
You saw it also because it is your assignment. And if it's too big for you, if you're saying it's too big for you, it is because there is something that you're going to also receive from taking on that assignment that's going to help you get better and get some stuff out of you that you didn't even know that you had.
Okay. Right. Chevelle, I understand. That's really clear. And I can see that you really grasp this role and you... I can see how you can be you're very successful at that and be in demand all over the world to talk to people, sing to people.
You know what, sir? There are people listening to your program right now that them have a difficult situation dealing with. And all they're saying is, oh, me, that's not for me to deal with. Oh, she lucky. No, sir. Me not in it. But what they don't understand is that them taking on this particular thing is what will help them grow as a person because it's going to challenge them. A lot of people, you know, say, oh, I'm a loving person. That's what they say, you know. Oh, I'm a loving person. But how do you know how much of a genuine loving person you are until you've come across something that will challenge you, that will make you uncomfortable? That's when you will see how much of a loving person you are.
I see. Okay.
That's when you know if you're loving or not. You can't say you're loving and nothing I've ever tested you in that area. Or everything that has tested you. It's not nothing. It's nothing. It's easy. But you buck up on a young miss or a young man who is just rebellious and not listen to nobody. And you decide to say, oh, me not take that on. Because that is not, no, it is your assignment.
Okay.
It bothers you and it troubles you because it is your assignment. You are a solver to that problem.
So are your future projects going to reflect some of this approach that you have to life?
Yeah, man, of course. Of course, I've started already. I've taken a lot of other younger girls and, you know, who sing in the music business under my wings and just be that which I need to be to them. For some of them, I need to be somebody to rebuke them. Because there are girls that I've rebuked. And unfortunately, some of them will take it like, oh, she now come talk to me so rare. And I've seen them come back and apologize.
Right.
Because they realize that the attitude that they had was just not right. And it cost them. Because what I went through for a long time to save them 15 years of their life.
Right. And this
you
is
went
with your-
through all of what you went through. God allowed you to go through what you go through. You're actually going to save somebody that pain of going through it another 15 years of their life. So it's for them to take it and understand that, you know, this person may mean me good, you know. So they say, if I keep being hype, it won't work. If I keep staying among the crowd that I don't need to be around, if I keep staying, it's going to destroy me. That person has been there. They know. They have years. They have wisdom that I've not got. Let me try it.
Right. And the vehicle you're using, is there no other way, record label?
Yeah, No Other Way. That's my own record label, right? It's called Now, but it's the acronym for Now is No Other Way.
Right, right. And I got one more tune I want to play, and I'm looking at the clock, and we got a DJ coming up at the top of the hour. So make sure I'm going to make sure that you have the opportunity to big up who and who you want to big up. I want to give you the opportunity to give out the links if you have any that you would like people to know of and to utilize. And with a bit of luck, I might have some time to play this last tune, which I think is a quite a key one. The one entitled Pray for Peace. So before we do that, I want to thank you for being here with us and enlightening us and blessing us with your teaching, if you can put it that way, and certainly with your music, and give you the opportunity to say thank you or big up to who and who you wish.
Yeah. Well, you want me to do that now?
Yes.
I must say a big thank you to Yendis. Thank you so much for having me on your program. It has really been a blessing, and I find it a privilege every time I get the chance to speak to people like you, and I'm grateful for the opportunity. And for all those who listen to the program, and you know, I hope something that I said ministered to you. I hope you were also blessed by the music that was played. And you know, you can hook me up on Facebook. It's Chevelle Franklin. It's spelled C-H-E-V-E-L-L-E. Franklin, F-R-A-N-K-L-Y-N. You can link me via Facebook or tweet me, and basically email info@chevellefranklin.com. I'd love to share more of my testimony with you, and you know, all of what God is doing, and you know, all of what I've been through and where I am now, and for you to just follow my journey. You can go on YouTube to see some works that I've been doing, especially in Africa. Some of my music video, I got the chance to minister in Africa in front of like 1 million people. That was also a blessing.
Wow.
And you know, I've done some of the largest Christian concerts in the world that attract like 1 million people or 800,000 people. Just so to find out more about me, you can go and check that out. And God bless you to all those who've been listening, and thanks for the support for those who've known me throughout the years.
Yes.
You know, and I'm just grateful. Look forward to my new album. You can tweet me, as I say, Facebook me, Chevelle Franklin, you know, and we'll talk. God bless you, and thank you again. Thank you, Yendis.
That's a pleasure. It's been really great speaking to you, and I'm hoping that people see the links them in the shout box, all those who are on the site, and those who are listening to the recording, yes, you can check out the links and the homepage, Facebook page. You might not get on the profile as a friend, because I tried myself and it's full.
We're just gonna forward some new things. And also, I'm excited about my new album. It's called Set Time, coming out this year. So I want everybody to support it, you know. So just stay in touch with me, and We'll keep the links going. Thanks again, Yendis. God bless you. Love you.
Love you. And much.
I remember, straight out of Kingston, Jamaica, may I say this to you, Jesus is the only way. I will mash up the place like dynamite through him alone. God bless you, and thank you again. You see?
When I look around me, so many people dying. But here's the cry. Here's the cry of the mothers and the daughters, the sons and fathers.
We pray for peace.
From the mothers and the daughters.
Many, many thanks goes out to you, Chevelle.
Hey, I know you're bad and you feel trigger happy. Look around you, for you, I'm sorry. The cross by your chin, where you bounce on your belly. Never stop the gloom where you come, don't you worry.
You don't care
when the mother's crying.
You don't care
when the father's crying.
What's coming to you?
It's not gonna pretend.
What's coming to you?
It's not gonna be
tough.
To the east and
Great conversation, great music.
Break this curse we have face every hour.
And the time just catch up on me.
We don't pull out our corruption. Spirit of destruction.
Now you all stay tuned and take in a selector roast bread food coming up in a few seconds time.
Shine, shine, shine. Jamaica, Jamaica.
I'll be back in your ears in the morning, 7:30 GMT, and the hour before Queen Easy.
Rise and shine, shine, shine.
I certainly have, and I hope you have enjoyed the last 2 hours or so. Get the links in the shout box, visit the website and take in the message. Bless up to each and everyone who's been here on the base. Caribbean Queen, don't hail you up from night. Big up yourself, sister. Dags working the shout box. Dan Minot has joined us. E56, large up Ganja Smuggling. Big up yourself, Lioness of Judah. Naya Shane, Panda. Big up Promotants, Queen Easy. Rachel's joined us. Big up Red Lion, large up Thomas. Haggai Santos. Tragic, big up yourself. Now I left you out, Sonia 58. Big respects to all those listening out in cyberspace, the Facebookers and the handheld users. Stay tuned for Selector Roast Breadfruit.
This is Sarah Lugo and you're tuning in to the Reggae Space Online Radio. You're listening to the one and only Yandis. Keeping the reggae alive, keeping the vibes alive, and spreading the love. Big up Yandis.